Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello in for Alex. Alex will be popping in later to the studio, and he's got a lot to sound off on in regards to Prince Andrew being arrested. It's our first big Epstein arrest, but unfortunately, it didn't come from those in the United States. Surprise, surprise. But it's a big win, and Alex already sounded off on that, so stay put. He'll be here in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, I want to bring you some other news happening in Afghanistan. Well, good news if you're a female or a child who lives in Afghanistan, or doesn't live in Afghanistan, I should say. That's good because, well, the Taliban has just introduced a new penal code. It's a 90-page document, and it was signed, obviously, by their supreme leader. In it, it now actually, these people are discussing their animals, it legalizes domestic violence by allowing husbands to physically punish their wives and children for minor offenses. Now, you just can't cause, you know, any major injuries like broken bones or serious bruising. And even if you did, I don't think you could go to, you know, the Taliban and say, hey, he beat me. I don't think they'd be very friendly or be on your side. It's what's going on right now, obviously, in Afghanistan. It doesn't, we don't need any U.S. involvement, but folks, the rapid decline in Afghanistan specifically, though, has been absolutely devastating to sit back and watch. I know so many of our brave veterans who served in Afghanistan. They fought to help free these women, to help free these children, and they've just gone back to the Stone Ages yet again. Some more devastating news coming from, obviously, the Taliban. And by the way, your taxpayer dollars still go into the Taliban, according to Congressman Tim Burchett. No surprise there, though. That's what's going on right now in this country. You know, you and I, and we're going to get into this too in a little bit, but you and I have to pay our taxes, but no. Don't ask any questions. Don't stop our government from sending blank checks to the Taliban every month as they continue to lie and say, oh no, this is going to the Afghan people. We all know it's not, but here we are in that situation right now. Folks, I'm going to give you an update too in a little bit on the MAHA movement. We've got some really, really devastating news coming from the White House, sadly, yesterday. It's in regard to something that I just can't shut up about, and that's glyphosate. It's one of the many chemicals that are in our food, but it's actually one of the most dangerous ones. RFK Jr. has been screaming about this for years, and that's actually why it was on my radar when I was listening to RFK Jr. years ago. He always talked about glyphosate, and I had no idea what it was. But then I started seeing the lawsuits that were stacking up. And unfortunately, right now at the White House, President Trump just signed an executive order that's really just absolutely mind-blowing. I actually had to read and then put it through Grok to make sure I was reading it right. So when I read through it the first time, I was like, I must be misunderstanding this. Let's see what Grok has to say. And Grok's like, no, you got it right. This is not the MAHA agenda. By the way, in case you didn't know, glyphosate is Roundup. And it's literally causing cancer amongst Americans. So this is another one that just has me scratching my head and wondering, why are we even doing this in the first place? And there's really only one answer. But that's what's going on right now in the White House. It's starting to feel like we're slowly losing this. But we'll keep our eye on that. I'll bring you the latest on that front too, because we got some RFK clips that I'm going to play for you. As well as, it is crazy, the fact that the president signed an executive order. But on top of that, the Roundup, the company that owns Roundup, actually came out yesterday a proposal to settle class action lawsuits because guess what? People are alleging that Roundup causes cancer. Huh. We'll get into the details on all of that in just a little bit. Folks, buckle up. We have a jam-packed hour coming your way in just a moment. Hunter Gaylor is standing by. He's got a lot to talk about. Specifically also, I don't know if you heard, but there's an AI company, a massive company that's actually making its way to Miami. Not good if you live in the area. We'll also be talking about Zohran Mamdani because, of course, he wants to raise property taxes on New Yorkers, but you get what you vote for. Or maybe they didn't vote for him. Maybe it was a stolen election. One can only hope at this point that it was stolen, that the American people aren't this dumb to vote for a communist. But on top of that as well, we're talking about affordability and how the cost of living might soon be going down in regards to rent and home ownership. So buckle up. We've got a lot to discuss in just a few moments.
Hair Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello, host of The American Journal, filling in for Alex. Alex will be popping in a little bit. He's got a lot to sound off on. He can't even take a day off, that guy. He is amped up and ready to talk about Prince Andrew. As many of you guys know, Alex was one of the originators when it comes to exposing these corrupt individuals, alleged pedophiles. And so Alex has a lot to say, and he will be joining us in just a little bit. But I want to talk about what's happening right now in Florida. As many of you guys probably already know, so many are fleeing blue states and making their way down to red states. I'm talking about Texas and Florida. You've seen a massive influx over the last, let's just say, 5 years. But Palantir is the new company that's ditching Colorado and making their way down to Miami. The company just recently announced that they will be moving to Miami. That will be their new headquarters, it looks like. And this is obviously big news. Again, so many of these big corporations are fleeing. And, you know, here in Texas, we're seeing that quite often as well. They're leaving California, ditching and coming to Texas. It's a massive influx of new residents coming our way. So what can we expect from all of this? Joining me to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He is the founder of Spencer Pruitt, and he is an America First strategist, and it's an honor to have him back on the show. Hunter, thank you for being here. You know, we just heard that Palantir, because they just announced it earlier this week, is going to be making their way to Miami, and you're a Florida resident. So what do you make of this?
Well, look, at the end of the day, I always say in business, money goes where it's treated best. So from a business perspective, like all of the tech companies fleeing California, I mean, even people like Nancy Pelosi are coming into my backyard, which really irritates the heck out of me. So if we can get one of those big trucks that you guys are, you know, winning, hopefully we can, you know, try to take her out. I'm joking. That's a joke. But no, Florida is booming. And in fact, as I was waiting during the break, I was looking at this. There's a vote going on right now in the Florida State House for a constitutional amendment abolishing all non-school property taxes for Florida homeowners. And it'll be placed on the ballot for Florida voters in 2026 if approved by the Senate. And so far, the vote is 80-30. So it's moves like this that are causing people to wake up and say, look, when you have the wealth tax going on in places like California, you have communist, dictatorial, you know, Islamicists running cities like New York. It creates a very appealing appetite to say, hey, listen, please don't California my Florida, and please do not New York my Florida, right? So, you know, there's definitely a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, we just had the World Liberty Forum was just at Mar-a-Lago the other day. You had major world leaders here over the past, you know, month and a half. You have all the major banks that are doing unbelievable moves, even right into my backyard in West Palm Beach. You have groups like Wells Fargo Banking that's now headquartering their wealth division here. And you're seeing stories like this in headlines almost every other day because of the way that the state is being governed. So it's going to be very interesting to follow what goes on. Am I a fan of Palantir? Not really. But they're a tech company nonetheless, and they do have employees. And I look at it from a business perspective, but, you know, having a company like that in the backyard. I mean, we have a lot of them that are coming here already. I mean, I think there's been talks of Oracle. I haven't confirmed any of that or seen, but I think I've read some articles that Oracle and other very large companies, Amazon is coming here. Jeff Bezos is moving here. I mean, there's tons of movement of money into Florida, and it's really remarkable what's going on.
Yeah, it's changed drastically. I got to Florida back in 2018, 2019, I believe, and it wasn't what you're seeing unfold today. It's actually boomed over these last 5 years, and it's caused a massive, obviously, influx. And I joke all the time and say, hey, listen, when people are driving down south on 95, we should be checking voter IDs or voter registrations to see if they're Republican or Democrats. And then the Democrats send them all the way back up north because they were the ones who created this mess. And speaking of that, Hunter, I want to get to this because Zohra Mamdani is the Islamist communist who's now running New York City, and obviously so many of us who lived in New York City or worked in New York City but have a dear love for New York City have been devastated to see that sadly voters were just so naive and voted this man in. Well, they're starting to get kind of a rude awakening. Right now, Zohra Mamdani is holding Kathy Hochul, who's the governor of New York, hostage, it feels like, because he's demanding more funds for his free initiatives. Right now, he's demanding so much money that, in fact, and it's crazy because New York's projected when it comes to its fiscal 2027 budget, it's about a shortfall of $5.4 billion, which is resulting in him trying to shake down the governor. And he did just that the other day by saying that they're going to probably have to raise property tax and also start taking money away from the retiree funds. Take a listen to clip 12 and how that went down.
What we would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
Okay, so obviously that's not going to be something that's going to be well received by those who live in New York City. I had a couple of friends who were debating whether to sell their property or not prior to his election, and I said, sell it. It's not looking good right now. What do you make of all of this, and how is this going to have an effect on the rest of the country? Because I'm sure most Americans who are still left in New York are going to flee.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. When you have a guy like that, and look, I haven't done a deep dive on the guy that's the mayor. I really could care less about him. He's you know, just his narrative alone is just disgusting. And it should be pointed out that, you know, New York, I'm sorry, but this is who you elected. As you said before the break, unless it was a stolen election, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy just got in there. They put him in there. But I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. And they showed up to the voting booth and they elected this guy. And I'm sorry, if he's going to go after your funds, that's your problem, not mine, right? I hate to be as crass as that, but that's the situation. So this should be a wake-up call. This should be a serious wake-up call for the people of New York and the people of Manhattan, because if you look at just the crime on the streets, the rampant, disgusting, you know, sidewalks with the feces story that came out the other day where it was just disgusting after the snow melt. I mean, it's just disgusting what's going on there. But when you look at this type of policy, and this is what I want people to understand, when you promise everyone that you can have tea and cake and all of this free lunch, and I'm going to give you free grocery stores, and we're going to be like Robin Hood, we're going to steal from the rich, and we're going to tax the rich so that the poor can go. I mean, it's this type of narrative that's been going on forever, and yet we keep electing these people, right? And they're taking what once great, unbelievable, you know, superpower cities of the world, right? That you would look at it. I mean, you know, what's the Frank Sinatra song? If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. Well, not anymore. They're all coming to Florida. And so at the end of the day, you look at this guy, he's a disgusting individual, and not to just call it out and not to have some intellectual argument, but the guy's just not smart.
Yeah.
He's not articulate. And if you look at him and the way he ran, I mean, it's just disgusting. Now, can he actually pass the property tax? I was doing a little bit of research on this because I'm not too familiar with the New York law because they're just a strange place. But I think he can't just make the decision. I think he has to get city council full support. I don't know if it's a 50+1% or if he has to get all of city council to back him on this. But I mean, you know, this is a real thing that's happening. And all of these people that have their pension funds and all of these things where they're getting their Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, which is, we understand, federal, but they're being affected because of stupid policy like this. So, I mean, at the end of the day, my message to the people of New York is, you know, you voted for this. So either you stand up and stop doing five, you know, Muslim calls to prayer in Times Square, and you actually focus on the stuff that's actually going to help you as a city increase and improve. Because right now, you know, it's the best recruiting card for the state of Florida, you know, that you could possibly get, because people clearly do not like to live under this tyrannical type of leadership. I mean, it's just it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, and it doesn't look too positive because New York City Council itself is a cesspool for liberals as well. And so, unfortunately, if you live in New York, it's not looking good anytime soon.
Well, it's the age old saying, and I hate to say it, I don't mean to cut you off, but the this is a very important point. It's government is only good until they realize that people can vote themselves the treasury. And that is exactly what we are seeing, right? You know, lock, stock, and barrel happening right now in New York and in California and in other, you know, liberal blue cities. These people get in charge, right? And then they just load themselves up with the public money. And that's exactly what's happening. It's a form of corruption. It's a form of money laundering. It's a form of all of these, it's cartelish behavior. And so when you see that, if the people don't wake up and see what's happening, right? It's only going to make matters worse if we don't get these people out and have real serious accountability and oversight. And we have none of that right now.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true. I mean, we have zero accountability right now. Hunter, I wanted to ask about this before you go, though, because the White House, at first, they weren't trying to entertain the idea, I feel like, on getting affordable housing. But, I mean, that's the reason why people like Gazzo Ramadani get elected, because they're talking to a younger generation that's struggling to get by, those in their 20s and 30s with student debts and are just trying to stay afloat. And so they turn to communism without even realizing they're doing this. And so it's important now that the White House is really going out there and getting involved in the affordability fight itself. I want to play clip 13 for you because the White House now is talking about how they plan on bringing housing prices down. Take a listen.
A key part of the American dream is buying a home. And that is finally becoming more affordable under this president. This past week, it was announced the annual mortgage cost for a new home has fallen by $4,000 so far under President Trump, after rising by roughly $15,000 under Joe Biden. As a result, mortgage affordability has reached a four-year best. First of all, the president is obviously committed to deporting illegal aliens from our country and those who are not lawfully present in the United States, which he has done at a record pace, which has led to the falling of rents, as I pointed out in my opening remarks. Secondly, the president has recently announced that he is fighting for a ban on institutional investors and Wall Street billionaire corporations from buying up single-family homes that should be lived in his opinion, by American families. We know this is going to have a remarkable impact on the housing market and on prices and supply and demand for the American consumer and the American family. And then thirdly, the president is also expediting permitting as fast as we possibly can to build more homes, to increase supply, to obviously bring down the cost of home ownership and purchasing homes for the American people. And then also, as I mentioned as well, we do see mortgage rates falling. So all of this is combining to make housing more affordable in this country. There's still a lot more to do. The president is still digging his way out of the mess that was created by Joe Biden's administration and jacking up mortgage rates and jacking up housing costs. But we do see very positive trends in this direction. And the president wants the United States to be a nation of owners, not renters. He wants families to live in homes, not institutions and big corporations.
All right, Hunter, your reaction to the White House's plan to try to bring down the housing costs for so many Americans. And I love the fact that she said that we don't want people just renting. We want them owning. We want Americans owning. That's the key word here, Americans. Your thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, look, it's an effort, right? So you get an A for effort. They're trying, right? Whether the White House will be successful, that remains to be seen. But I will tell you, there's two things. One, you know, this could be a whole massive special that you or Alex or probably could do on the history of the U.S. housing and how it came to be and the formation of neighborhoods and all of these things like that. But when the banks come in and we get a mortgage rate, right, and you have a 30-year mortgage or a 50-year mortgage, you know, even if you pay off your house, you're still paying property tax. So you and then the banks can put liens on your place. So there's an entire international banking cartel around this for controlling the U.S. housing market. And if you look at what happened back during the 2008 housing crisis, it started because people, these predatory home loans were given out to people who should never have qualified for these for these types of homes or these types of loans in general. And what happened with the bank? You know, you people like Barney Frank that sat there that did nothing. Fannie and Freddie Mae failed on his watch, right? And he's sitting there playing all of these games. People don't remember that. You remember Barney Frank, the banking queen, right? So he's out there, and Congress gets involved, and they're just hurting the American people. And they've been doing that ever since. I mean, I won't go down the whole thing of the International Bank of Settlements. I won't go through BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, or any of these people that are actually holding the mortgages, that are controlling the notes, that are artificially, increasing the housing prices due to a choke in supply. So I like what the president's trying to initiate. But really what happens is you have to put the power back in the hands of the people, and you have to cut the red tape, and you have to make it easier for someone like me that can deploy capital to make it easier to build. I stop with the environmental baloney bullcrap that it takes to get housing so I can build new neighborhoods and I can build more homes and I can build more golf courses and I can build more communities to where people can have a lower cost of living because our taxes are so high. I mean, you know, if we're really playing the tariff game and we're going to look and we're going to equate that to that what's going on in the housing market, what we have to do is how do you make it easier for me to put more money in my pocket instead of giving it to the taxpaying dollars going to the damn Taliban? Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. We're sending money overseas. We're fighting in foreign wars, right? We're about to go to war with Iran again, right? We're dealing in Venezuela, which is regime change, which is, you know, that's a whole nother story. But All of that distracts money and resources away from we, the working class American people. And that's really what we need to be focusing on. And we need to focus on a whole system. And that system of job creation with students, if you're looking at, you're saying, hey, listen, I want to help a child, right? Or I want to help a student learn a job. Then I want to be able to one day have him get the job, learn the job, and then one day own the job. That's upward mobility, right? That's why we need these training programs. That's why we need more community involvement for financial literacy so that we stop becoming just a slave society, right? To where we're all, you know, we're forced to pay rent. We're forced to pay taxes. We pay taxes on our gas. We pay taxes on our groceries. We pay tax. And at the end of the day, because we live in such a rat race environment, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so many times we're importing all of these people in from the third world, right? That it's taking jobs, it's taking resources, it's a strain on the system. So, you know, from a housing, I like the direction, I like the narrative, but I really want to see, you know, a change in the actual laws and the cutting of the red tape to make it easier and more affordable for people to get into a home.
Yeah, well, that's the top priority, hopefully, with this administration. I think they understand that the growing demographic is concerned of with that issue completely. And as we head into midterms, that's going to be something that they gear up for.
And by the way, I got your mind fuel. I got the mind fuel. Let me tell you, this is a great energy shot. You sent me some of these. I'm kind of getting addicted to them, but it's fantastic. So, you know, what is on the alexjonesstore.com, right?
Yes, it is. And thank you.
Here we go. Mind fuel right there. alexjonesstore.com.
I was just asking the control room. I'm like, my eyesight's not amazing. And I'm like, is that our energy shot? Yeah, it's great. My favorite part, though, no caffeine, all vitamins. And so it's a clean energy boost. And Hunter, I'm glad you like it because it's a available right now with the alexjonesstore.com. And if anyone at home right now is looking to grab some, it's a good investment. You know, I'm no Hunter Gaylord, but I'll tell you that this is a good investment because you're entering to win a contest to win two sick rides, possibly the F-250. That's the Ford one. And then the Ford Mustang as well. And $20,000 in cash. Hunter, thanks for that plug because you made my job a lot easier. I appreciate it.
No worries. Mind fuel. Get your mind fuel today at the alexjonesstore.com. It's going to change your life. You won't even be the same person, right? You'll start being like a hunter. It'll be great.
Hunter, I literally was saying to them in the office, I was like, I was using your studio space. And let's get him on cam as he does his shot. He was using your studio space. You were so kind to do it. And I couldn't shut up about these shots. So I had to send them your way. So like,
no,
I'm
they
liking
were fantastic.
That you like them. Good to hear.
Well, no, listen, I mean, I deal with a lot of numbers on a daily basis, and it really does. Zero calories, zero sugar. It's an energy shot. I mean, I take it with, you know, my coffee in the morning. It's fantastic. And I will tell you, for people that are in high functioning, you know, if you're going into any type of negotiation or anything, the nootropics do really work. And I like to see it. It's healthy. It's got great ingredients. So thanks for sending it. I mean, you got me hooked.
I love it. That's my job here. So Hunter, thank you. We appreciate your time as always and look forward to having you back on the show. So thank you.
Take care.
All right. That's Hunter Gaylor, folks. If you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. It's just Hunter, and I'll spell it for you. The last name, G-A-Y-L-O-R. That's where you could find him on X as well. So make sure you do just that. make sure you do just that. All right, folks, buckle up. We got a lot more to discuss. Specifically, though, I want to talk about this. President Trump yesterday signed an executive order. And again, I had to read this multiple times. It's the Defense Production Act. It was signed yesterday. It's meant to promote the national defense for things like, and this is mind blowing, glyphosate. He's looking to make sure that they could, I guess, speed up the production of glyphosate. For those of you at home who are wondering what's going on here, you're not alone. I had to read this over and over again. Most importantly, though, I actually had to run it through AI after I read it to make sure I wasn't losing it. This action aims to reduce imports, also help the critical supply chain, that's according to the White House, and protect both military readiness and the availability of affordable food. I don't know what the F is going on right now, guys. I am just completely mind blown in all of this. It's strange given the fact that what I know about glyphosate actually comes from RFK Jr. When I saw RFK, this was years ago, talk about glyphosate, I had no idea. Although I do remember this is back in the day whenever you had a sick day at school. Remember, you're watching the commercials and it's a lot of like lawyer ads. I did remember seeing a ton of just Roundup. If you ever have if you develop cancer, it could be caused by Roundup. Well, Roundup is glyphosate. And the same day that he signs this executive order, I had to do a double take as well. Roundup had to put out a statement. They're proposing a $7.25 billion plan to settle thousands of lawsuits claiming that Roundup weed killer caused cancer. I don't know how this gets any worse. The same day the executive branch is out here signing orders to promote more of this. It's the same day that the company that makes it, Roundup, is allegedly looking to settle for billions of dollars over claims that people were getting cancer. It's really just heartbreaking when you go through all the details of all of this. And I don't understand what's going on right now in this country. What's going on in the White House? RFK Jr. must be going crazy about this right now. I did see that there was a statement that was provided to the New York Times in regards to all of this, because even those in the mainstream media know that the MAHA movement is triggered by this executive order. And it didn't sound like it came from RFK Jr. directly. It was just a very fluffy, we support the president and preparing, you know, government readiness and military readiness. And folks, it's just mind blowing that this is what's going on right now in this country. Glyphosate is in every product. Thankfully, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife actually did a study where they show you that it's actually in your bread too. That's bad, because I don't eat store-bought bread. I try not to. Again, carnivore over here. But when you look at how much glyphosate is in bread that you probably think is good for you, there's no warnings on it. You have no idea you're consuming that. And if it wasn't for Florida, we wouldn't know. I would have never known. We have a massive, massive issue right now in the White House, and I don't know who to blame. It's all over the place. It's starting to feel like we're being sold out. And I don't want to be a black pill. I try my best not to be a black pill. I try my best to give this White House the benefit of the doubt, because I know it's probably a lot tougher than it is for those on the outside looking in. Every single day, they're battling it out. And I get that. But I don't see any reasoning to go out there and promote glyphosate like this is something good for the American people. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Steve Dace is going to be joining the program, and he's got a lot to sound off in regards to the Epstein files. As many of you guys know, Prince Andrew was arrested today in the UK, and that's obviously a big one. Who would have known that over in the UK they were going to get the first major arrest for the Epstein files? Unfortunately, that didn't happen here in the US. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Like I told you, just got a couple more hours left to get 100 times the entries for every dollar you spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. That will get you into a contest to potentially win a Ford F-250 and a Ford Mustang, as well as potentially $20,000 in cash. Great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello, not Alex Jones. I'm just filling in for him today. As many of you know, I am the host of the American Journal. That is a morning show here on InfoWars. And well, there was a lot happening today, and Alex actually is going to be jumping on in just a bit, so make sure you stay here. He's got a lot to sound off in regards to the latest Epstein arrest. We finally got one. I could say the latest Epstein arrest, thankfully. Unfortunately, though, it didn't happen here on U.S. soil. No, no, no. It actually happened abroad in the U.K. Prince Andrew has apparently been arrested, and the charges itself are a little unknown as of right now. But, I mean, this is a win. We'll take a little bit of a win when we can, and this seems to be a win. It looks like so far that the accountability tour, which I've been begging for years, might actually be kicking off right now in regards to Epstein. Exactly. So just in case you're wondering, too, by the way, Prince Andrew, today's his 66th birthday. What a way to celebrate. Happy 66th birthday, you scumbag. But most importantly, when you go down all the information that's been pouring out of the DOJ, and again, you know, I've been very critical, but let's just focus on some of the good. 3.2 million documents making their way to the internet, and all of you at home have been doing the deep dives into figuring out what's actually happening here. And we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. But when it comes to Prince Andrew, well, President Trump knew exactly what was happening behind the scenes and tried warning the American people of just that. In clip 14 back in 2015, well, he did it. Take a listen.
You raised the question of Jeffrey Epstein in your remarks about in the Q&A.
Well, I think he's got a problem. I mean,
what do you think
I'm
the problem will be?
I don't know, but that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you about it. The island was an absolute cesspool. So
the island was an absolute cesspool, and that is beyond accurate. Joining me to discuss is Steve Dace. He's one of the incredible hosts over at Blaze, and he's with us now to discuss all things related to Epstein and the latest we've uncovered so far. Steve, I want to thank you for being here. You know, this is a win. We'll take a win when we can, and I think it's a great thing to see that the UK has just arrested Prince Andrew. What do you make of all of this? Because it's been long overdue.
It is a win, Brianna, but I have to tell you, my first thought when I saw this morning was, we cannot have the country where if you complain that your Anglo-Saxon daughters are going to get raped by Muslims mm-hmm. on social media, we arrest you, okay? Mm-hmm. We cannot have that country arrest somebody over the Epstein files before we do. I mean, yeah. We cannot have Keir Starmer in arresting people, okay, over the Epstein files, anxious to send their cops out to find you if you misgender someone on social media. We cannot have the UK outflanking us here. All right. And so there's Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked to somebody. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Epstein trafficked to somebody. Now, I know our official government position is that Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked to Jeffrey Epstein. I highly doubt he was able, no matter what in the world he was putting in his body, I have a hard time believing he was able to indulge all those victims on his own, Brianna. So who else did he traffic to? And then you hear people say, well, there's no list. I've got an idea. Here's how you get a list. It's pretty simple, actually. Note all the people in the Epstein files. All right. Investigate them and then put them down in what we call a list of those that you have evidence that they're guilty and release said list. And voila, the list is now readily available, Brianna. It's just that simple. Maybe not easy, but it's that simple.
Well, Steve, I'm surprised to hear that you weren't happy with the list that the DOJ released to Congress, that letter that was released over the weekend. And it details a bunch of people who never even met Jeffrey Epstein, had no involvement in Jeffrey Epstein. But it was people who were critical, Republicans too, who were critical of the way the DOJ handled all of this. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And MTG mm-hmm. pointed this out, and I think it was great that she did. When you go to see her names on the list, you then go and look at the document that they're citing. And the document's heavily redacted with just massive black boxes everywhere. And she posted this on Twitter, the video directly to show just that. I mean, the DOJ is out here. And I have to just assume at this point that it's just a personal dig. I mean, even the name Cat Turd pops up on this list now. And it's just, it's so crazy to me that they thought that this was acceptable by putting these names in there and just being I would say it's controversial, obviously, but it's also meant to cause confusion because it's like, okay, are these people associated with Epstein then? I mean, what do you make of what the DOJ did this weekend?
I think this really begins, it was almost exactly 1 year ago, remember, it was leading into the president's first joint speech to Congress, I think it was the day of even, that they brought some of the most important influencers we have on our side over to the White House. They were not originally brought there, by the way, to receive the Epstein files. They were there for something else. They were brought in to a meeting with Pam Bondi, where they were then given these binders, and then they come out and tell us that they have the Epstein files, and in it is just a bunch of stuff that was already publicly known from his previous two prosecutions. And this was after days of Pam Bondi going on Fox News. See, that's the thing, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Our attorney, we need an attorney general, Brianna, who is doing more than auditioning to host the 11 p.m. Eastern show on Fox News on Sunday nights. There's more to that job than auditioning for that gig. OK, and so she led us to believe for days on Fox News. They're on my desk. They're piled on my desk. And then when there was the blowback over that stunt she pulled last February, well, then they actually haven't told me that they have everything. The New York office won't give it to me. Well, then what did you tell us for days on Fox News that you had? I think it's the Project Veritas video of her saying over a lunch mm-hmm. several months ago about the amount of carnage that's in these things. I mean, here's the reality of this is this has been incredibly mismanaged politically, incredibly. And it's a classic Republican Party play. We have done it on so many issues. You were just detailing it on from a MAHA perspective in the segment before I came on. And one of the problems we have on our side is that we have this. One of the great things about it is we have a very broad coalition. which means there's a wide swath of thought and information from people who don't want to be communist, Marxist, globalist, gay race communists, that we are able to entertain a huge tent of people in thought. But it can be very difficult if you're trying to govern this broad of a coalition, because it's hard to have a political party that makes Howard Lutnick and Brianna Morello both feel like they're at home. Right. OK. And so when you try to bridge that wide chasm of thought and perception, you end up doing things like, well, we're going to do mass deportations. So, yes, Howard Lutnick, you're going to have to give up Consuela and your gardener and your nanny. The elites all lose their minds in our party. And then we don't want to offend those folks because they write the big checks. Mm-hmm. But then the people that listen to Brianna Morello, okay, your audience gets really ticked off because then we didn't do what we promised, right? And so there's this constant teeter-totter of these two extremes on our side and how we're going to appease them. And you've watched this play out with Epstein. Mm-hmm. Right. For every handful of names, it's funny. We are accepting liability when at least 90% of the liability for Epstein associations are on their side. Mm-hmm. And yet we're the ones over here struggling with how to navigate this, because there's a few people like Lutnick that apparently we can't embarrass or prosecute. Yeah. And so you end up then offending the elites, the rich folks that write the big checks on our side, by letting them get embarrassed or scared. And then you don't follow through with prosecutions. And so you take the rank and file on our side and you end up demoralizing them. And this happens consistently within the American right when we try to govern. And it's happening right now on this issue and the issue you talked about last segment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. And it's so frustrating to see. By the way, folks at home right now, in case you're wondering, former Prince Andrew, I should say, has officially been released. BBC just ran a photo. He looks absolutely horrified. Hopefully they were doing some waterboarding in there while they had him in the police station. He looks absolutely horrified, though, but officially he has been released. So we'll keep our eye on that guy. We'll keep our eye on him. But, you know, let's talk about the people that we know here in this country who are named in the Epstein files. We're watching. And Steve, I'm laughing about this, but it's not funny. But it's also funny to sit here and watch all of these elitists try to do this dance around. A lot of these billionaires, they knew Epstein, but they weren't friends with him. But they needed money. Apparently, these billionaires, Bill Gates needed money. The Clintons needed money for their charitable causes. And they were just so kind and so sweet to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein to do the American people and the rest of the world a favor, which is really cool that they did just that. By the way, they're billionaires. So none of this really makes any sense why they'd be doing it. But again, it's one of the many layers of the BS PR scheme that they're trying to push out right now. But you mentioned Howard Lutnick. It's crazy because when you're going through all of the documents being released, although he, in front of, I believe it was Congress, he testified trying to distance himself from everything and saying, yeah, I was with my daughters. I think he said he went to Epstein's Island, but it wasn't what we thought it
was.
As
one does. I mean, let he who has not enjoyed a nice lunch right there on the shores of Epstein Island with your wife and daughter cast the first stone, Brianna, as one does.
Yes. It's hard not to laugh at this because it's just so stupid and it's such a bad, like I've done crisis management. This is not what you would tell someone to say. You would tell them to, you know, maybe apologize, but say that there was no wrongdoing. You wouldn't tell them just to make up this line. They're like, oh, I took my daughters there. It's so foolish and mind blowing. It truly is. But, oh, by the way, there was another billionaire. Let's see, what was his name? Who $2 billion, Reid Hoffman, who came out too and was laughing during the podcast.
Guy.
He's like, I needed money and I heard that Epstein was going to give it to me. Yeah, he's worth like $2.6 billion. He needed money. But right now, what's going on right now with Howard Lutnick is worth looking into. I mean, we're going through the files and he's named multiple times in the files. But most importantly, there's an FBI complaint alleging that Howard Lutnick was a smokescreen, is kind of what they're alluding to, and say that he was a part of, and this is their accusations, illegal activities. Again, we don't know if that's true or not, but it's listed in the Epstein files. We also know that Howard Lutnick sent to Jeffrey Epstein an invitation for him to come to Hillary Clinton's campaign event to fundraise for Clinton. Yeah. There's that as well. There's also another document that shows that Epstein donated $50,000 to charity celebrating Howard Lutnick in 2017. But Howard Lutnick's not a problem, Steve. That's what we're being told right now by this administration.
I think, again, it goes back to, and that the great irony of this is, I didn't know what Epstein Island was until Trump ran for president for the first time in 2016. I had no clue what it was. And I think what you're seeing, again, are the dangers of when you try to govern such a broad coalition. You've seen it, for example, in the president's ability, excellent, phenomenal ability, to use his leverage unilaterally to get things done globally in the foreign policy theater that previous presidents could never get done, all right? I mean, and so I think that's because the leverage only has to go one way. He's representing us as a country, and he doesn't have the internal political dynamics that he's got to calculate. And so he can more unilaterally use that leverage. But when we get to domestic politics, this is again where the uniparty aspect, where all these folks are all invested in each other, they're all friends with each other, they're all part. It's the old George Carlin line. It's a big club and we ain't in it. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we do need some of these elements probably on some level in order to have a sustainable political party capable of competing with the Democrats. So that's just the reality of living in a fallen world. But then the balancing act becomes if you promise people you're going to act on things and then you don't. And this happens on the Republican Party so often, Brianna, we get the blowback for what we claim to believe. Mm-hmm. But then we don't follow through on those beliefs. And then so we never get the benefit of actually having them. And this happens consistently, whether it's 52 attempts to, so-called repeal Obamacare when they didn't have the votes to do it. And then in Trump's first term, when they do, they don't get it done. Right. Over and over again. And so you got all the insurance companies ticked off at you. All the corporate elites ticked off at you and then didn't repeal it. And so now then the base gets ticked off at you because they feel like you didn't keep your word. That's what's happening on Epstein. That's what's happening on immigration and deportations. That's what's happening on a host of issues. And I think that I've talked to several people running for Congress in this cycle on our side. The number one thing I hear over and over again is the biggest problem I have right now is our base is demoralized and getting them motivated to take part and to vote and to be a part of the process again.
Yeah, and that's the problem here. And I hate when they use this term, but the black pill are here. But the reality of it is I don't have many things to be looking forward to right now, unfortunately. And we're having to keep pushing this and pushing this. And that's just where we kind of are at this point. It's really frustrating to see. And speaking of that, you know, a lot of us have been outspoken about the redactions that have been made. And we don't really understand why certain individuals are having their names redacted. And another document, which is apparently a flight log, it shows that Reid Hoffman traveled on Epstein's plane, his private jet, to his island. Now, in that document, it says that there's two names apparently that have been redacted in all of this. I mean, Steve, the DOJ is going out there and they're trying to combat what Thomas Massie, the great congressman from Kentucky, keeps going out there and saying. And they're trying to combat him with these back and forths about how he's wrong about the redactions. But I have more evidence that these redactions aren't taking place, but it's not because they're victims. What mm-hmm. do you make of all of this? Because they'll continue to say that this is justified. But for the rest of us, I want to know who passenger two and passenger three are. But unfortunately, our DOJ won't tell us.
I that's the thing. If they just told you, then we would know.
Yeah.
And we'd have the answer to your question. And one of the things that we have to be very careful of, I mean, I have been very hesitant about how much stuff I bring on my show or share on my feeds that's out there that can be verified. A lot of people trying to weaponize this for other various agendas or whatever they may have in store that they want to talk about instead. And so I can think of an entity, Brianna, that, you know, is uniquely empowered to investigate such things, bring us clarity, unredact such things, be able to confirm or deny such things with what we used to call evidence. What's it called? The Department of Justice. And supposedly our people are in charge of that right now. And they could answer all these questions. I think you just need to figure out over there at the White House on this issue. Your base is not going away. Your base is not following the signals of we're moving on to something. They're not moving on. They're not. This has been a major issue for our base now for several years. And so they're not going to move on. And so you're better off now, instead of trying to get them to move on against their own will, to actually giving them credible information and confirming what's true and then acting on it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you mentioned Massie. I mean, you know, the Trump's been trying to get rid of Massie for several cycles. Let's just play devil's advocate here and say, hey, if I can see why the administration would want to get rid of Massie. He's held up some of the big spending votes and other things they've cared about over the years. They want to put more of a loyalist in there. Okay, hey, that's a president's prerogative, and that's why we have primaries and let the people decide. But if you wanted to get rid of Thomas Massie, handing him an issue like this where he can now credibly get to your right and keep hitting you from the right, I mean, I not only are they not going to get rid of Massie in this primary, I think it's way more likely, Brianna, that he's going to win convincingly than they're going to get rid of him. They've handed him an issue. They've absolutely handed him an issue by which he could withstand all of their various attacks on other things, where maybe Trump's base might be more sympathetic to Trump's narrative on this primary than they would be Massey's. They need to get the signal. It doesn't matter how many friends that you think that you don't want to embarrass or you're concerned about, or one or two donors. One of the most mystifying cases in this is Les Wexner, the Victoria's Secret creator, because he's an Ohio donor that was listed as that was outed as a co-conspirator here, but he's an Ohio donor, never donated to Vance, never donated to Trump. He's a total Rob Portman kind of Mike DeWine globalist simp donor. There's no reason whatsoever not to hammer this guy to look into him as a potential unindicted co-conspirator here and make him an indicted one if the evidence is there. There's no political incentive to do it at all, and yet we haven't. Right. He's not written a single check to Trump or Vance. Why are we protecting that guy? I mean, the whole thing politically makes no sense. And that's why the base is still somewhat in revolt over this.
Yeah. Well, as you were mentioning, and you've got your eye on the ball right now when it comes to all of this, because the Oversight Committee over in Congress actually just began releasing his full deposition. Now, again, it's just a little snippet. It's 26 seconds long. It's not the full one right now, but they're going to be releasing it hopefully within the next couple of minutes. It looks like they're going to be dropping that link soon. So we'll keep our eye on that so we could bring it to you all at home very, very soon. But again, Les Wexner just had his deposition video. It's being released right now from the House Oversight Committee, and we'll be keeping our eye on that. But again, that's going to be one that I look forward to seeing and seeing what they specifically were asking him. So we'll tell you all to hang tight for that one. But I also wanted to bring this up, Steve, as well, because I've been doing for quite some time too as well, digging into the Epstein stuff and trying to get some documents for myself. I've done FOIA requests. That's the Freedom of Information Act requests. I've done several of them. But this one stands out to me the most because I asked the Bureau of Prisons. Keep in mind, the Bureau of Prisons is run by the DOJ. So the DOJ is the ones that run the Bureau of Prisons. I requested Epstein's final phone call. And as many of you guys know, on the night that he was... the night that he died, we'll just say, because it's very controversial whether he killed himself or not. Night that he died, he actually did make a phone call between 7 and 8 o'clock at night. Now, I wanted to hear what that phone call was about. I want to hear his tone of voice. If he was somebody who, because again, we see the emails, he was potentially working out a plea agreement. I want to hear where his state of mind was in all of this. And unfortunately for me, after filling out this request, I was informed by the Bureau of Prisons that they had no record of his phone call. Well, this sent me spiraling, obviously, and we've now learned that according to the jail itself, the prison itself, that he was apparently speaking to his sister. Those are the accusations that they're saying, but they're also saying that, no, we actually don't even have any records of that. Now, as someone who's a journalist and has been in this game for a little bit longer than most, I know when I call those who are in prison that your calls are recorded, Steve. Mm-hmm. So this was quite concerning to me. But they never gave us a call. I want to play clip 15 for you, too, because Senator John Kennedy, who I love dearly because he always gives me the best punchlines, but he also asked Cash Patel in regards to Epstein killing himself, allegedly, asked when we're going to see those records. Take a listen.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Like before I die?
Senator, we've been working on that, and we're doing it in a way that protects victims and also doesn't put out into the ether information that is irrelevant for production of the public, such as CSAM.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we're still waiting for a lot of that in regards to it. Again, I still haven't received anything from the Bureau of Prisons. What do you make of all of this?
I got to be honest, man. I just don't trust. Every time Cash Patel speaks, I just feel like he's dissembling. I just never trusted the guy from the beginning. Just don't like the vibe, the aura. I have no idea what information to protect the victims is required. If he committed suicide unilaterally in a cell, mm-hmm. I have no idea what would be there that would we could not disclose on behalf of victims. That just doesn't pass any kind of smell test whatsoever. And I think people need to be reminded here, we're talking about who at the time was arguably the most high value incarcerated individual in the entire American penal system.
Yeah.
And so they don't have video of him hanging himself. The camera's broke. The guys fell asleep. We don't have a recording. This is, man, this is Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau levels of zany that no one above a double-digit IQ believes. And that's why no one above a double-digit IQ believes it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's really an intelligence test. And I think for most of us at home right now, we don't really believe it.
If you believe Epstein killed himself, you're either getting paid to or you're on your 16th booster. Those are the two choices. Yes.
It's true, Steve. I can't argue against that one. It truly is the reality that we're dealing with. And when we sit here and we keep saying, oh, we don't have any recordings, we don't have the phone calls. By the way, I left this part out. He apparently called his sister. That's according to the reports that later came out. But he told the prison guards, get this, that he was calling his mom. Now, his mom died 15 years prior, so there's no way he's calling his mom unless he had a direct line to either heaven or hell. I don't know which one she's in right now, but it doesn't make any sense. Maybe it confused the guards there, but I'm just not buying any of this, Steve. And it's just so frustrating to sit on the outskirts of all of this and then have them tell us, we're being transparent with you. Believe it, believe it. I'm not biting any of this right now. Steve Dace, thank you for joining us. You do a great job all the time over at The Blaze as well, breaking all of this down. And we're very grateful for you jumping on with us today and doing just that. So thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Take care.
Thank you so much. Folks, if you don't follow Steve, you got to give him a follow on X as well. Let me just tell you that. When I listen to Steve speak all the time, he has me questioning, asking a lot of questions, has me double taking and thinking for myself, which not many people in this space have me doing. He is quite the delight to listen to, and he's a very intelligent and very important conservative voice in the space. So make sure you give him a follow on X as well. That's Steve Dace Show, where you can find him on Twitter. All right, folks. So like I just told you, and you know, we're going to be diving into it here in InfoWars. We're getting ready to see it, and it's going to be a big one, but it looks like the Oversight Committee has just officially released Les Wexner's deposition. That's something that we're going to be frantically looking into and watching and sifting through right now. We've got our team on it, and we'll bring you the very latest. That's why you can't go anywhere. You got to stay put. I know Harrison's going to be all over this as well, and we look forward to seeing what his take is on that. But like I also mentioned to you guys, Alex is going to be here in just a little bit, and he's got a lot to sound off on as well about the Epstein files, but most importantly, the arrest of Prince Andrew. Now, again, he's just been released moments ago, but there's a lot of questions. And again, like Steve said, I've been saying this forever. Who would have thought that the first major arrest wasn't going to take place here in the United States? By the way, did you know Ghislaine Maxwell was brought here on H-1B visa? Yeah. Jeffrey Epstein actually got her here on H-1B. Just another reason to get rid of H-1B visas altogether. Just another random fact to throw your way. Folks, if you want another random fact thrown your way, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, there's a couple more hours left in this really cool offer that we have going on right now. Every dollar you spend right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, you get 100 times the normal entries that we'd give you. So when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and you support us, we want to support you. You could potentially win this Ford F-250 or even a Ford Mustang. Or maybe just $20,000 in cash. It's a great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now and make sure you jump into the contest.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate,
absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain, and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, so your daughter must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free, you're it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited fabulous
power! Volunteer power!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.